Rachunek, proszę. Dziękuję, dziękuję, dziękuję. Teraz wróćcie do mojego domu. Mam tam rodzinę. Ten kraj do 4 cywilizacji. Yes, yes, that is what I said. Yes, I said that you are going to be the future of civilization, and part of the reason for that is because you don't have a housing crisis. That's what I said, and everything stems from that. Everything stems from that. The housing crisis that we have in Britain is central to the broader process. It reflects the broader process, and it is the essence of the broader process as to why civilization is collapsing in places like Britain, and the future of civilization is in your country. Yes, that is indeed what I said. Yes. Why am I dressed like this? Oh, I'm dressed as a Polish person. I'm being a Polish person. What's that? What's that? I should do a video on this brilliant idea. Well, if you say so. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about two interrelated things. One of them is Poland, and the other is why Poland is the future of civilization, and places like it are the future of civilization, and why key to this is the housing crisis that currently exists in many Western countries. It all comes together. Now, why did I dress in that thoroughly eccentric fashion? I'll tell you the reason. It's because in about 2002, 2003, something like that in Britain, we started to notice Polish people coming to London. And I was sitting on a train once, and there were these English people, these English underclass types, behaving like absolute yobbos. And I looked to the man that was across the aisle, and he was dressed exactly like this, moustache, Homburg hat, suit. And I thought to myself, he's not English. An English man would have dressed like that even, 50 years ago. But there they were, smart, civilized, not yet degenerate, caught in a time warp. And yet there they were in England looking for work. And this was this old guy, oldish guy, dressed like that. And I looked at him and he looked at me as if to say, God, what appalling people. And he was Polish. And it kept happening that I would run into people. For example, me and a friend were looking for unusual poisonous mushrooms in Richmond Park. And we go up to this guy and we said to him, he was also picking mushrooms. And I said, we said to him, do you know what this is? Do you know what this is called, this mushroom? He said, well, I know it in Polish. What good's that? But anyway, the point is, he was jolly polite. So the point I want to look at today is why Poland is the future of civilization, why the light of civilization is going to move east, and why it is that the housing crisis is central to all of this. Now, why do we have a housing crisis in somewhere like Britain? Let's look at the reasons. First of all, there are absurd levels of red tape. If you want to build a house, or you have to go through all kinds of levels of red tape, and so this means building houses for builders is extremely expensive. Secondly, now there are all kinds of ridiculous virtue signalling pointless laws on green energy. This increases the cost of building a house or making any kind of conversion on a house to make it more sellable, and therefore it makes everything much more expensive. Thirdly, the cost of labour is enormous. Why is the cost of labour enormous? Well, two key reasons. First of all, Britain has left the EU, and the EU was a source of cheap labour from places like Poland and whatever. That source of cheap labour has now gone. But secondly, and more importantly, we shouldn't need cheap labour from Poland. We should have enough labour ourselves. But we don't have enough labour because we've had this insane policy, or this insane equality-related policy, by the way, of encouraging young people to do degrees, of telling people that if you don't have a degree, you're a loser and you're pathetic, of going on and on and on about how if you have a degree, you will become middle class, this post hoc, ergo prompter hoc argument that you become middle class because you have an intelligent and whatever, because you have a degree, rather than that the degree is a reflection of being intelligent and being hardworking. And so therefore, the whole degree is undermined. There are far too many people with a degree. They can't get degree standard jobs, which creates conflicts and bitterness and resentment in society because you have a far too large an elite, you have a resentful elite that aren't part of the elite, and therefore you don't have enough people trained in useful things, and therefore the cost of labour goes up. Now, next, the cost of building things. The cost of building things is ludicrous. Why? One, again, lots and lots of red tape, making it difficult to actually build things. Two, problems with safety. We have, at the moment, of course, the cladding crisis. Why do we have the cladding? This idea, though, it's dangerous. We can't build with certain materials because they catch fire. Now, that in itself is a reflection of further problems. Why do you need to have red tape? Well, you need more red tape the more stupid people are. If people are intelligent and understand things, you don't need lots of rules because they implicitly know how to behave, and so things don't go wrong. In a society of declining intelligence quotient, which is declining because of the negative correlation between how many children people have and how intelligent they are, you need to have more red tape, and you need to be extra safe and cautious, and thus creating expense because of how stupid people are and the kind of ridiculous mistakes they are going to make. Now, remember that Britain has been in a dysgenic situation for longer than any country around, because Britain industrialised earlier, and in Britain, only the criminal underclass has above replacement fertility. So you're going to get more and more low IQ people making more and more ridiculous mistakes, burning houses down and whatever, and therefore they need to be made of safer and safer materials, and this is more and more expensive. So these are all the kinds of reasons that push up these kinds of problems. These issues are less of a factor in countries where people are more intelligent, or where people are less reliant on the state or whatever, and where they are more encouraged to think for themselves. Now, the next issue is simply NIMBYism, not in my backyard, NIMBYism. People strongly object to housing being built near them. Why is this? Well, first of all, it's another issue of red tape and whatever and all of this. The fact that there's all this red tape means that it is much cheaper for builders to build large housing estates where the buildings are all the same than to build individual houses. So you can't get used to it. There can't be like one house here, one house here, one house here. You have the massive effects of an entire park being built on at once. People don't like that. It's sudden change. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that it is cheaper to build buildings that are simple, to build buildings that are unattractive. So therefore, because it's so expensive to build things, obviously there is a strong incentive to build things that are ugly and unattractive, these kinds of neo-Georgian monstrosities that tend to be put up in terms of starter homes, which anyway, by the way, are far too small because the cost of land is too large, and so therefore these homes are too small and generally ghastly. So it's cheaper and it's easier. Thirdly, the buildings will be ugly, and we can expect that because of a change that has happened in society, particularly over the last 60 or 70 years, of the shift towards group-oriented values, which are based around, of course, obedience to authority, loyalty to the group, and beauty, basically, sacredness, sanctity, hating disgust. Those are the values of group orientation, to the values of individual orientation, individualism, which is based around harm avoidance and equality. Now, what happens when this shift takes place is that you have a movement towards individualising values, and therefore people don't care about things like beauty. Beauty is a group-oriented value. They don't care about that. They care about individualism, equality, everyone having a house, everyone being the same. And this pushes things towards general ugliness and unpleasantness. It also, as the shift happens, becomes a status issue. People tend to pay for status. The working class tend to be less perceptive of what is going on and of what is the dominant set of values. Therefore, they will value things like beauty, and people who are status signalers in the middle class, they will want to distinguish themselves from those people by signalling that they're the opposite of the working class, and therefore they will eschew things like that. And you'll have this status game in which you show how right on and intelligent and high status you are by rejecting the traditional values of beauty and things like that in favour of things like equality, harm avoidance, equality, so everything sort of working and everything being new and original and whatever, and you signal your intelligence and you signal your originality and you reject those original values of beauty, and therefore you have a status game where buildings become uglier and uglier and uglier as an expression of originality, as an expression of newness, as an expression of being different, as an expression of rejecting the group-oriented values, part of which is a concern with beauty. And so they are right, these NIMBYs, to understand that they're going to be uglier and uglier buildings. Architects will compete with each other to be more more and more original, more and more avant-garde, more and more unusual, because that's how you get status. You get a status game towards more individualism, which is basically more disgust, I mean, which is the opposite of group values, which basically makes buildings, ironically, more and more and more disgusting, more and more revolting. So you have two kinds of people that are, just like with modern art, two kinds of people that are going to be involved in architecture. You're going to get the sort of mutants, individualists, who have maladaptive values. That includes being high in disgust, who actually like making disgusting buildings. And they're going to sort of rise to the top because they're individualistic and ambitious and Machiavellian and whatever. And then you're going to have the sort of conformist people that will sort of force themselves to believe that they like things like this in order to get on and in order to attain status. And so this creates runaway individualism in architecture, just as it has done in politics or just as it has done in art, where buildings will become less and less and less beautiful, less and less about promoting the sublime and the good of the group, and more and more about individual ideas, about basically promoting that individuals, kind of promoting how intelligent and interesting they are, and promoting their concerns with equality and harm avoidance, and therefore concerns with form and function and whatever over things like beauty, and rejecting beauty because that's associated with people of low status. So on this goes. Now what this does is it creates a sort of evolutionary mismatch for people where they're living in an environment they shouldn't be living in. They're filled with disgust all the time. This makes them unhappy. This of course makes this mismatch makes them depressed, it makes them feel that life is pointless and futile, and it makes them basically want to not have children. Now, the next thing that you get is the philosophy of materialism. You move to a point where people stop being, where we are no longer under high levels of group selection, we are no longer under high levels of mortality salience, we are in an evolutionary mismatch. We're meant to be in a situation where we're fighting for life all the time, and we have these group-oriented values. Now, once these go away, then gradually you have this sense of dysphoria, the sense of things not being right. The more environmentally sensitive people will experience this more strongly, and therefore they will feel depressed and unhappy, and they will sort of basically not want to have children, and they will have this materialistic idea that it's all about material things, and there's nothing higher than that, and there's no God that's looking after them, whatever, and they will just lose their sense of faith. Everybody will. So what you're left with is people that have instinctive drives. They will have children, and then you have these materialistic people who have some kind of desire to have children, but they're also very materialistic, and they don't feel that there's a sort of a God there looking after them and there's a greater meaning to life. Now, those kinds of people, and they will be more intelligent because intelligence is associated with being more environmentally sensitive. People that are more intelligent are less instinctive, they're more environmentally plastic, will delay having children until they feel that they have the right level of material benefit, the right level of materialism, in order to give their children the best chance to compete in life. Because those people are also K-strategists. They're very focused on nurture, and they want to make sure their children can compete in a highly competitive environment. So they will delay having children and delay having children and delay having children. And it's caused, in part, by this evolutionary mismatch and the materialism, that they will act in this way. Now, the next thing that makes the housing crisis come about is a rising population. Obviously, if there's more and more people, rising population due to immigration or whatever, then there's the cost of land goes up, and so therefore there's less housing. And then, of course, you have the fact there's no fixed value to housing, and we've created, through loans and interest and whatever, this bubble, this absurd bubble, whereby the price of housing can just go up and up and up and up, and people can be given loans so that they can buy a house. So there's more and more people competing to buy houses. So and there's fewer and fewer houses to buy, and so obviously the value of houses goes up and up and up and up, and then you get this bubble. Eventually, with subprime loans, you have people being given loans who simply can't pay off the interest, who can't pay off anything, and so who's totally unsuitable to own houses. And so this created a sort of minor collapse, but it had to be stopped from being a full collapse, because then once you've got a bubble like this and everyone's invested in it, then the whole system, the whole financial system could be destroyed, and everything, all the banks could collapse if the bubble bursts. And of course the bubble will eventually burst, because the bubble is basically, there's no fixed value to money, it's not pegged to gold anymore, it's simply created, it's pegged to basically confidence in the system, confidence in the American dollar. And once that goes, then the whole system will collapse, totally fall apart. But that is what we have. So therefore, this bubble means that as more and more people that shouldn't be getting housing really can get housing, and therefore there's less and less housing, and more people compete for the housing, and therefore it creates this bubble. And you get the situation where when my parents bought their house, it was in London, the value was 2 years' salary for a school teacher. A school teacher earned £10,000 a year. The house was worth £20,000. The house is now worth best part of £1 million, probably, in that area, and a school teacher's salary is about £30,000. That's what's happened. And what that means is that people end up with smaller and smaller houses, houses that are totally unsuitable for them, and they have to wait longer and longer and longer until they have the necessary resources, in their view, in order to be able to have a family. So whereas they would have felt they had those resources in a previous generation, aged about 25, now they feel they haven't got them until they're sort of 45 years old, something like that. So this will birth. Now, what does this mean? It interferes with who has children. It pushes down intelligence. People who are strategists, people who have low intelligence, people who are not environmentally sensitive, they're simply going to have lots of children by accident because they don't use contraception, or they don't have the intelligence to use it, or they simply have a strong instinct to have lots of sex and they don't care and they just have children. They're also not used to a materialistic... If materialism is the way of things, if materialism is the dominant way of seeing the world, then they won't see the world in that way. They'll be old-fashioned. They'll be inculcated with the earlier set of values, because intelligence predicts seeing what the dominant set of values are and forcing yourself to believe them and acting upon them. They won't do that. So they won't have as much in the way of highly materialistic values. They might have a vague sense of religiosity or something like that. But the most important thing is that they just won't care about these things. They won't be used to... They will be adapted to a world where you live fast and die young, where children basically look after and bring up themselves, and if they don't, well, whatever, who cares? We'll just have more children. It's the R strategy world, the world that is unstable yet easy. That is their ecology. So they will simply have lots of children. And the heritability of intelligence is very high. It's about 0.8. And so this will, of course, push intelligence down. At the same time, these middle-class people, unless they are religious, if they've got a sense of religiosity, then they won't care about having a smaller home than their parents had, or having less resources, or whatever. They won't care about that, because they'll feel that, well, God will provide. They'll have these eternal values. It'll all be all right. So they'll have children. The people that have a sense of... People basically that are right-wing, conservative, religious, they will have children. But apart from those people, in general, intelligent people will be materialistic. They won't have a sense that everything will be all right. They'll have this sense that they have to survive and they have to compete and they have to have the best material prospects possible, because there's nothing beyond the material. They will therefore deliberately delay having children. They will have the ability to delay having children, the desire to delay having children, and they will delay having children, and therefore they will limit their fertility. And so this process will push down the IQ of the country. This because of housing, literally because of housing, will push down the IQ of the country. Now, what would you expect to happen in a context like this? Well, let's look at somewhere like Eastern Europe. What's happening in Eastern Europe is that the number of children being born is going down because young materialistic people are aware that they can get more money in the Northern European countries, and so they are going to those places. But if you take that out of the equation, then what you're left with is a more religious society, more of an evolutionary mismatch, less of a housing crisis, less of your money going on rent and whatever, basically a less crime, less of an evolutionary mismatch in so many ways, basically a better place to live. And so what you would expect to happen is that the Poland and these kinds of places would become neo-Byzantiums, that more intelligent people who had who thought about the future, because intelligence correlates with migration, remember, those kinds of people would realise that they can get a much better standard of living in somewhere like Poland or whatever than they can in somewhere like Britain. Moreover, somewhere like Poland is lower in these individualising values. It's more of a balance balance that is more sort of between individualizing and between group-oriented values. And so it's less of an evolutionary mismatch, and there's more freedom of expression, and there's less crime, and less of all of the problems that you see in the winter of civilization that I've looked at in so many other videos. And so you would expect intelligent people, particularly intelligent people with more sort of monumentalist values, to start migrating to Eastern Europe, to escape to Eastern Europe. And they would take with them their intelligence, they would take with them their abilities, they would take with them their sense of purpose, they would take with them their genes, which would be genes that would want to have children and genes that would want to do for the good of the group. And remember, it's the group that's most positively and negatively ethnocentric that tends to survive. They would take with them all of these positive qualities. And what would be left back in the old country would be people of extremely low intelligence, or people that were materialistic and didn't want to have children and just allowed themselves to be bred out. Why would Poland end up with higher intelligence than Britain? Because Poland doesn't have it started dysgenics later, because Poland, the whole process is basically grounded in that. Dysgenics later, shifted to individualizing values later. It is not as far along the line. And therefore, you would expect places like Poland to become these Neo-Byzantiums, where the light of civilization would pass from west to east. Because in Poland, there is less dysgenics. In Poland, the working class is itself, you know, less. There's less of an underclass. There's less of a middle class suicide, basically, because what we should see left-wing ideas as is basically womb-sterilizing ideas that encourage people to feel that life is pointless and there's no purpose to anything and there's no God and you should feel ashamed for being who you are and you should thereby sterilize your womb. That's what we should call these people, womb-sterilizers. And there are less euphemisms and therefore less societal conflict and whatever. And so therefore the light of civilization will move east. So as a businessman, if you're going to invest in things, what I would think is that the future wealthy places will be Eastern Europe, and Western Europe will degenerate into an underclass population of low IQ people. And along with an increasingly suicidal, materialistic sort of left-wing group that sterilizes itself with wokeness, that says to itself, I feel too guilty to have kids or whatever. So the light of civilization will move to places like Poland and other places in Eastern Europe and like Croatia, Czechia, whatever. And I think this process is already commencing. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, then please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Remember, I live stream. You can see ways to support the show below. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye!